have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
I'm Dr. Jerry Green. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. We have an awesome show lined up for you tonight as the Bishop tackles kingdom issues and current events. But first, let's receive First Lady Sharon Richard with her faithful financial moments. Good evening, First Lady.
Good evening, Jerry. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. One of the biggest challenges many parents face is how to save for their child's college education. The cost of a college education continues to increase at rates beyond comprehension. 25 years ago, $50,000 was the entire cost of a college education. Today, depending on the college chosen, the cost can be as high as $250,000. Planning for this type of cost may seem almost impossible, but if you start early, you can position yourself to help your child minimize school loans while pursuing the education of their dreams. In order to get started, you must first begin with the end in mind by developing a savings goal. Establishing a goal will help you determine how aggressive that you must be in developing a savings budget and make decisions on how to invest what you have saved. Once you have a savings goal, you must enter into prayer to ask the Lord for guidance in developing a budget that will allow you to achieve your goal. Remember that although saving money may seem difficult, you can make significant progress by making minor adjustments in your spending patterns. Once you have developed your budget, ask the Lord to strengthen you to remain disciplined in staying the course. There are several savings vehicles, and you should always remember that diversification will provide you your best chance to maximize earnings for your savings. One of the first options to consider is saving in a qualified tuition program, referred to as a 529 plan. Although these plans have contribution limitations, they provide a great way to save because your investment earnings are tax-deferred and distributions to pay for college costs come out federally tax-free. The 529 plans have two alternatives, one which allows you to prepay all or part of costs of a college education. The second acts more like a 401k plan as contributions are invested in mutual funds or similar investments. Each state has individual 529 plans. You can choose the plan of any state to join. Research 529 plans by consulting a financial advisor or by going online to www.savingforcollege.com. You should also consider opening a custodial investment account. These types of accounts have no income or contribution limits, and once the child reaches the age of majority, the money is transferred to the child's legal control by the custodian. Aside from your savings, you can encourage other family members and friends to consider giving toward the custodial account. To open a custodial investment account, consult your financial advisor. Although it will take a commitment to build strong college savings for your child, remember the benefits that your hard work will provide for your child in the future. When in doubt, always remember Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by Open Mic with the Bishop with your host, Bishop Ernest E. Richard, Jr.
How you doing, everybody? I'm Nina Taylor. Here's this week's Gospel News. Houston, Texas-based singer and pianist Kim Burrell calls what she does jazz gospel, and her ability to write a good portion of the material she records and performs makes her a rarity in the gospel industry. To say she started performing early would be an understatement, since she took her first vocal solo with a church choir when she was only 1 year old. The daughter of a pastor and evangelist singer, Burrell began her professional career with Reverend James Cleveland's Gospel Music Workshop Choir, Trinity Temple Full Gospel Mass Choir of Dallas, and the Inspirational Sounds Mass Choir of Houston. Her recording debut came in 1995 when she released Try Me Again on Pearl Records. The buzz around the release led her to signing with Tommy Boy Gospel, which released her second solo project, the ASAP Alexander Ward-produced Everlasting Life, in 1998. Live in concert followed in 2001, also on Tommy Boy. Unfortunately, the label folded a year later. In 2004, she made an unlikely guest turn on R. Kelly's three-way phone call and sang with George Clinton in 2008. George Clinton and his Gangsters of Love. She had shared the stage with gospel artists like Shirley Caesar, Donny McClurkin, Karen Clark Sheard, Yolanda Adams, Kirk Franklin, Marvin Winans, and many, many more. She released her first new studio album in 11 years, No Ways Tired, in 2009 on Shanti Records, another new studio effort. The Love album appeared 2 years later in 2011 and fared well on the Billboard charts, netting Burrell a Grammy nomination. Following 2015's From a Different Place, Burrell teamed up with R&B star Pharrell Williams for her song I See Victory, which was featured in the movie Hidden Figures in 2016. Ryan Ellis, singer, songwriter, and worship leader, is the newest member to join the Provident label group Sony Music Family. His debut single, Heart of the Father. Ellis was quoted as saying, "This song was written in a season where I was discovering the grace of God and His kindness, patience, and mercy." Ryan Ellis and his song Heart of the Father was a worship pastor living in Isla Vista, California. The goal behind his ministry was to show the people in the Party City that it doesn't matter where you are or what stage of life you are in, there's always going to be the grace and love of God. Ryan believes that his music is for the believer and how we are supposed to walk and love one another. The 2023 GMA Dove Award nominees have been announced. Here's a partial list. Contemporary Gospel Recorded Song of the Year, New Day by Blanca featuring Ja'Kalyn Carr, Your World, Jonathan McReynolds, Miracles, Kiara Sheard featuring Pastor Mike Jr., Bless Me, Maverick City Music and Kirk Franklin, and Get Up by Ty Tribbett. Traditional Gospel Recorded Song of the Year, the nominees are All Right, Melvin Christel III, Finished, Live, Tamela Mann, It Is Well, Tasha Cobbs-Leonard, I Need You, The Walls Group, and See the Goodness, Mashawn Mitchell featuring Donnie McClurkin. Gospel Worship Recorded Song of the Year. The nominees are One Name, Jesus, Live, Naomi Rain, Impossible, Pastor Mike Jr. featuring James Fortune, I Still Have You, Smokey Norful, The Moment, Live, Tasha Cobbs-Leonard, and You've Been Good to Me, Zacardi Cortez. Worship Recorded Song of the Year. The nominees are Gratitude, Brandon Lake, Honey in the Rock, Live, Brooke Liggerwood and Brandon Lake, Holy Forever, Chris Tomlin, Fear Is Not My Future, Maverick City Music featuring Brandon Lake and Chandler Moore, This Is Our God, Phil Wickham. Contemporary Gospel Album of the Year. The nominees are My Truth, Jonathan McReynolds, Kingdom Book 1 Deluxe, Maverick City Music and Kirk Franklin, Impossible, Pastor Mac Jr., Overcomer Deluxe, Tamela Mann, and All Things New, Ty Tribbett. Traditional Gospel Album of the Year. The nominees are Nothing Else Matters, Brent Jones, Transitions Live, Brian Courtney Wilson, Believe Again, J.J. Harrison, I Go to the Rock, Whitney Houston, and Worship and Justice, William Murphy. Gospel Worship Album of the Year. The nominees are Tent Revival, Forward City Music, Closer Than You Think, Jonathan Traylor, Hymns Live, Tasha Cobbs-Leonard, Encounter, Todd Galbraith, and Imprint, Zacardi Cortez. Well, that's your GMA Dove Award nominees for 2023 and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. This show tackles kingdom issues and current events from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Bishop and Company for today's discussion. Good evening, Bishop.
Good evening to you, Nina. How are you, my dear sister? God bless you. Welcome to each and every one of you. This is Open Mic. I'm Bishop Ernest E. Richard Jr. We are in a live radio podcast. Those of you who are on social media, please share this live and tap the screen. If you're on TikTok, if you're on Facebook Live, please share the screen and let others know. For those of you that are on iHeart, Spotify, TuneIn, and any of the other apps, YouTube, wherever you may be listening to this show at, we ask and encourage you to do the same, to let others know that it's on. We're going to get right into it. We're not going to spend too much time in here today. We're just going to kind of get in and do what we need to do. Let me introduce you to my co-hosts as we get ready to go. First and foremost, all the way from Indianapolis, Indiana, my very dear friend, my sister from another mother. We share the same birthday, by the way, in case any of you didn't know. Say hello to Pastor Anna Henderson. How are you, Pastor Henderson?
Good evening, Bishop. Amen. And to all of our listening audience, it is so good to be with you tonight. We thank God for another day. Truly, God is good to us, and we are so grateful, amen, to have this time together this evening.
Amen, amen. And then let me go up north, northeast to be exact, to the great state of Connecticut, the city of New Haven. My dear sister, for over 20, 25, I think, plus years, I don't know, I stopped counting, but I need you to say hello to Elder Lauren Bishop Brown. Elder Brown, how are you today?
It is well, Bishop. How are you?
Wonderful. It is well. She got her debonair sound today, so that's quite all right. I'm messing with you. And as always, hello to you, Dr. Kimmy Robinson. Thank you again for podcasting the show. I really wanted to surprise you, my friends, with a good song tonight from a dear friend of mine, Pastor Mike Jr. Apparently, I may have sent the wrong format, and if I did send the wrong format to Dr. Robinson, I do apologize. I'll get you the MP3. But it was a song I was hoping to get to play entitled Windows. You got to hear it. It is amazing. Anyway, let's move forward. We got a different topic coming up for this particular month. And before we introduce it, I'm going to ask you, Pastor Henderson, if you would please pray us in. I'll give the introduction, but I will not give the open dissertation. Today, Elder Lauren Brown is going to give us the dissertation. So if you'll please, Pastor Henderson, lead us to the throne of grace.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for another opportunity, Lord, to come together, oh, God, to share. Oh, God, we thank you for our listening audience tonight. We thank you for those that are listening. We thank you for your word tonight. We thank you, oh, God, for being able to share in discussion, words of wisdom, things that will be talked about that will open up one's understanding, oh, God, to you even the more. Father, we just thank you for all that you're doing for us and in us and through us. And, Father God, we look to you, Father God, for all things, Father God. Blessed that you have your way tonight in the discussion. Oh, God, bless each listener on the line tonight. And, Lord, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, this particular month, we're going to get into something that I think you would find a bit interesting. And I just want to go to the epistle to the Hebrews, and I want to look at chapter 12, and I'm going to read, and then I'm going to turn it into your hands, Elder Brown, so that you could begin to set us up. It simply says, and by the way, Pastor Henderson, the reason why I got so excited while we were on the prayer line on the 7 o'clock service, Mother bust out with my scripture. I said, Mother, come on, you little troublemaker. You little troublemaker. You just want to start with a good confirmation. You know what I mean? It's great to receive confirmation, especially when, you know, she didn't know that we were going to, she was going to stop at verse 2. I said, child, you better keep on strutting. Never mind stopping at verse 2. Let me get out of the Amplified Classic Edition. Here is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, to be exact. It says, therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which is so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patience and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive of our belief and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God of the throne, on the throne. Boy, oh boy, I'm reading real good today, huh? Just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself, reckon up and consider it all comparison to your, with you. Let me try this again. Reckon upon and consider it all in comparison to your trials, so that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your minds. Finally, verse 4, for you have not struggled and fought agonizingly against sin, nor have you yet resisted and withstood to the point of pouring out your own blood. I have read in your hearings the epistle to the Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 through 4. The Lord had a blessing to the hearing and to the reading of the word. Tonight we are going to take a moment and spend some time this month to talk about let's get in shape, or I should say how to get in shape. Now, we're not talking shape, and I'm not going any further than this, Elder Brown, so I'm going to turn it over to you. We're talking spiritual shape and not necessarily physical shape. I'll let Elder Brown go ahead and take us in. Come on, Elder Brown, do your thing.
All righty, all right. When we think about shape, there are different metaphors that come to mind. There are different images that may come to mind, but when we're dealing mm-hmm. with the topic of shape this month, we're talking about your spiritual shape. What type of shape do you feel like your spiritual life is in? This is what would take us into a place where you have to do self-inventory, not judging other people on their salvation walk, but judging self on our salvation walk, which would take the time where we would sit down and actually, you know, sit with the Lord and have a conversation, an open-ended conversation with the Lord, and say, you know, Lord, what would you have me to do? What am I missing? Where am I missing the mark, Lord? Lord, speak to my heart and show me, oh God, wherever I'm missing things, if I'm not praying enough, if I'm not fasting enough, how would you have me to spiritually get myself in shape? Because as we're developing our relationship with the Lord, quote unquote, getting in shape, that's how we learn more of the Lord, more of what we may need to shed off spiritually, ways that we may need to build ourselves up spiritually, i.e. through prayer, through memorizing scripture, through studying the different promises and parables that are within the word. The whole manual is available to us. There are so many different ways that you can get the Bible today. So we have, or I have, no excuse. And what I want us to really focus on is the best part of getting in shape spiritually is really, let's do the first act. Let's surrender. Surrender our whole life to the Lord. Lay it on the altar. Don't worry about Sally Sue or Jimmy John or what they've got going on, but just about Lauren. What am I looking for? What am I expecting God to do? And in my life of expectation, what am I presenting God with? What am I allowing God to take out of me or to put into me? Getting into shape is a very serious, it's a phenomena. It's time for us to realize that it's not about anybody else. It's about me and God. It's our intimate relationship, and how else can I better get to know him but to get myself in shape by first surrendering.
Amen. Well, let's do this, and I appreciate what you just put out there. That's a very good jump point. Let's talk about what is the true meaning of surrender. What actually does it mean to surrender? And I mean, I could give you some insight on that myself. And I mean, when I listen and hear the word surrender, to me, it really means to cease resistance to possibly an enemy or any opponent, and to submit to one's authority. Now, there are other synonyms that you could talk about. I mean, for instance, we could include you give in, you yield, you concede, you submit, you give away, you defer, back down. And no, there are other definitions. And if we take the definition of the word surrender literally, we may tend to sit back and sort of try to find a way to muster up a defensive stance to try to justify why we should not, or come up with some reason why we're having great difficulty surrendering. And I'm going to do my best to try to let you ladies do the guiding on this particular one. But if I could throw one more thing in there, I promise you I'm going to back up and give the space to you to do what you need to do. When you talk about surrender, understand, beloved, and those of you that are listening, surrender is a term that's generally used to refer to losing or giving up in a battle. And when we personally use it from a spiritual aspect, we never told you what the word shape stands for. We're doing them one letter at a time. So the first letter is the letter S. We're going to talk about surrender. We don't want to give it all away because then y'all may not come back next week. So you're going to have to come back next week to find out what the next word is. But anyway, what I'm just trying to get you to understand, hey, listen, sometimes you got to string them along, right? But, you know, when we surrender to God spiritually, you know, we are literally choosing to give up the fight between ourselves and our sinful flesh and the antics of sinful man. We surrender our will to his will. Our ways become his ways, and this helps us to have a solid, sound relationship according to his word. Each time we surrender more of ourselves to him, we're able to become more for him. And when we're able to become more for him, we become more with him. Anybody agree or disagree with what I'm saying? I mean, just talk to me. Those of you in the social media, if you got any comments, please put them in and I'll read them out loud for you. What do you ladies think?
You know, I totally agree with you. In relationships where you're learning someone and you're learning their characteristics and learning the expectations, I believe it's easier to surrender to the Lord because you have the assurity that he loves you and that he's not going to do anything to harm you. So surrendering should be an easy, I guess,
all
that's
right.
How you put it forward. An easy position to put yourself in, which is, you know, in life we have to be mindful and on our guard because sometimes that we feel like we should surrender to, we also have to be in a defensive mode to make sure that we're not allowing them to take advantage of us. God's never going to take advantage of us. So that's one feature that we should be able to just run with, is being able to surrender, knowing that he has great things in store for us and he's not going to hurt us. He loves us. And he wants what's best for us.
All right. Pastor Henderson, let me been here. What were you about to say?
Thinking also, in addition to that, I was thinking about the yielding of one's will to another.
Uh-huh.
And in this case, we're talking about yielding our will to God. And, you know, sometimes it sounds easy. It's easier said than done sometimes, especially if you've been in a pattern or a habit or a position where you're used to doing what you want to do. But when you yield to God, it's like you're surrendering. It's like, I want to do it, but because I want you more, I'm going to give myself over to you. And it becomes a challenge. It's almost like when you're working out, you want the result of being fit and looking and having that nice shape. But then the process is the yielding part to getting up, going to the gym, working out, you know, and all of that that comes with it. And so sometimes the flesh is resistant, and so a lot of times we want to see instant results because, you know, we don't put all this work in, but sometimes, you know, it doesn't happen like that. So most of the time it doesn't happen like that. We really don't see results until way later. But that's the surrendering, is that yielding to say, I'm going to keep on doing it. Why? Because I'm trusting God that even though I don't see the results right now, if I keep yielding, there's going to be some results. There's going to be some change. And so that surrender is like that yielding into the trust of God, that I'm trusting that something's going to come out of this yielding.
Amen. You know, and I we got to kind of take into consideration that the battleground, this world literally is a battleground, especially for believers. And since the fall of man in the garden, you can read about that in Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. The world that God has created has been in conflict with him, and God has been trying to make us understand that because Adam sold us out, Satan has now become, is called the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us that he is, and, you know, it's only because of the sin of Adam. For one man's sin, all men became sinners. Let me say it this way. I know football season has just started, and some people are watching the Detroit Lions, the Kansas City Chiefs game. Go Chiefs. They're basically playing as we speak. So really, think about this. Let me talk a football term, ladies. Because of Adam's sin, we've all been drafted to the wrong team. Now, because of the work that Jesus Christ has done, we can now be traded to the team that is ultimately going to win. You know, we're born on the devil's team. We're in an age, and when we reach that age of accountability, I know David said it best, where we were born in sin and shaping in iniquity from our mother's womb. But then we reach the age of accountability. Some say it's 10, some say 11, some say 12. I say when you understand right from wrong with clarity, that becomes the age of accountability. It's in that moment that we make our own moral choices, that we choose whether to follow our own sinful inclinations or decide to seek the face of God. But I'm going to go with what Joshua said in Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15, and I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified. Joshua had this to say, "Now therefore, reverence the fear of the Lord and serve in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it seems evil to you," pay attention to verse 15, because, you know, this is where we have the power of choice. This is where we can make a choice. And the choice you make is a consequence. As we said last month when we were talking about the seeds we sow become the harvest we reap. When we make a choice, we have to live with the consequence of that choice. Verse 15 simply says, if it seems evil to you, sir, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, bam it now, and if it seems evil to you, all right, this is so wrong. I don't know who wrote this, and I think I misprinted it when I wrote it in, but it should say, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Okay, now it makes sense. Whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, y'all come on and say it with me. We will serve the Lord. That's absolute surrender. That's where we've made a decision that we are going to give God the best that we have. We're giving God a yes, and there is a power in the yes that you give. Understand, beloved, when we tell God yes, what we are saying to God in essence is, from the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul, God, I'm surrendering myself to you because I want all that you have for me. I don't want to miss out on anything. And those of you on Facebook Live, please bear with me because I have to change the there you go. All right. But anyway, you know, I want to have the very best. If I'm going to serve the Lord, I've got to make a choice. I've got to make a decision. You know, God promises that when we seek him with all our heart, he told us that we would find him. And when we find him, we have a choice to make. Do we continue following our own inclinations or do we surrender to his will? All right? And surrender, and the other thing I want to point out is surrender actually is a battle term. It implies giving up all rights to the conqueror. When an imposing army surrenders, they lay down their arms. They put down their weapons. And the winners take control from that point on. When we've surrendered to God, we do the very same thing. We put down literally our decisions. We put down our choices and everything that we've said. There are some people to this day who still want to fight and kick against the goal. But let me help you out with something. It's not going to help. God has a plan for each and every one of our lives, and surrendering to him means we set aside our own plans. We set aside our own will, our own desires, and eagerly seek his. I don't know about you guys, but the good news is that God's plan for us is always in our best interest. If any one of you want to quote Jeremiah 20:11, hey, you can say, for I know the plans that I have for you. This is where God, every one of us, God has a plan for every one of our lives. And what it is with us is sometimes we want to challenge God's plan, which is really not a smart thing to do, because everybody is trying to show that God doesn't know what he's talking about, that God has no clue when he allowed 40 men to turn around and inspirationally write the word or write the Bible as we know it today. And then we got these Bible scholars who are challenging the 1629 version of the King James version of the Bible. You know, it's not for you to challenge his word. It's for you to live the word. How are you going to sit there and challenge the word and you ain't living a nickel's worth of dog beef? Anybody got any comments they want to throw in there? I'm sorry, I just got to be real about it. You know what I mean? And it's that
willingness to say that, hey, I'm not in control, and I don't want to be in control. Lord, I want your plans. I want your will. And I think that it comes with a knowing that God's plans, like as you said, out of Jeremiah 29:11, knowing that God's plans are better. And so we're willing to let go of our control. And, you know, for most people, letting go of control is difficult because most people want to feel like they are in control of their lives. But the good news is that allowing God to be in control and allowing us to surrender to him, it opens doors for the blessing, because God wants to bless us, and the blessing comes through our surrendering. It's like saying, Lord, I have plans, but I know your plans are better. Lord, I trust your control in my life opposed to my control and what I think about things. And I think when we understand that it's a good giving over opposed to being in a battle and surrendering because you lost, it's different when you surrender to God. On the other side of that, you surrender and you win. So when we sing that old hymn, I surrender, I surrender all, there's winning on the other side of that surrender.
Amen.
It's not lost. Yeah. And so that's a good thing. And sometimes we think of surrender as a negative, but it's a plus when you're a believer.
It really is a plus. I got to agree with you there. There's something else that I'd like to kind of try to point out. And I know at some point, Bishop Brown, I'm going to say Elder Brown, I know you're going to want to jump in on this. Think about this. Unlike our own plans that often lead to destruction, we can look at Proverbs 14:12. It says simply, there is a way that seems right unto the man, but the ways are the end. The are the ways of death. God is wise, and he's a beneficent victor. He conquers his son to conquer for us, to bless us, not to belittle us, berate us, and put us underneath. God wants to give us the very best. It becomes difficult for God to give the best when we won't yield ourselves to him and allow him to do what he wants to do. Now, I do want to throw some things out here. One of you get at John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 44. And then the other, please get Acts chapter 2, verse 21. I want to show you something. There are different levels of surrender, and all of them have an effect on a relationship with God. Initial surrender, when we surrender to the drawing of the Holy Spirit, really does lead to salvation. Who has John 6:44?
I'm in Acts.
I know I just gave. Well,
it says John 6:44, and it reads as such, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Say that again. We act like we're the ones making the decision to go to God, when the truth of the matter is, it's God who makes the decision to come to us. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yes.
Is
that's
that what
right.
You're saying,
that's right. Amen. We didn't find him, but he... Yes, I believe, and when I hear people say, I found the Lord, but you know what? We didn't find the Lord because the Lord was never lost. The Lord found us. And the scripture says that man can come to me except the Father has sent me draw him.
Amen. Amen.
So we can't even come to Christ except Christ draw us to him. And so that draws us. It is he that draws us.
Thank you. Say that. Start some trouble, why don't you? I like that. That's good. All right. What do we have on Acts 2:21? No, this is good. This is good because we need to really, folks, we got to understand what surrender truthfully is. See, some people think, I just love everybody and I just love the Lord. And you can try to love everybody. The truth of the matter is you're lying to yourself, because all it takes is for somebody to piss you off and you are no longer loving everybody. You wanting to kill somebody. Am I right or wrong on that? I mean, if I'm wrong, you tell me I'm wrong. I'm being serious about that. But what happens is when you surrender, you may not dot every I, you may not cross every T, but you actually put yourself in a position whereby you could say, not my will, but thine be done. And when you put yourself in that position, you're doing exactly as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Understand why Christ surrendered in the Garden of Gethsemane. He fought vehemently against his flesh to the place and point that he started sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. No man has stressed or struggled, as we found out in our scriptures tonight, especially in verses 3 and 4. No man has stressed or struggled or dealt with sin to the point where you started rupturing capillaries in your forehead and in the sides of your head. No man has fought against sin to the point where it literally took some of your strength away. And when he got to the point and place of victory, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Come on, Elder Brown, give me Acts 2:21 so we can move forward.
All right, Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Now, that would automatic contradiction, would you say? Because we just heard Henderson read just a minute ago that no man comes to the Father, except he be drawn by the Father. No man can come to the Father except they come to him, except they be drawn. Is that what we read in John 6:44? Now we find out in Acts 2:21, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, the same shall be saved. I believe that's the King James Version. So it sounds like a contradiction, but it really is not a contradiction. Because first and foremost, you are not calling on the name of the Lord unless it's in your heart. So that means that God touched your heart to the point and place where you now recognize that you need him. And it's like somebody that's in a swimming pool and suddenly they're drowning. They can't swim. What's the first word out of their mouth? Help. Is that right?
Amen.
Think about that. So if we hollered help in a time when God was standing right there waiting for us. When we let go of our own attempts to earn God's favor and rely upon the finished work of Jesus Christ on our behalf, we literally become the children of God. I know some of you have read John chapter 1, verses 12, and then I'll get to 2 Corinthians in just a minute. But it just says, to as many as received him, to them became the sons and or the daughters of God. I'm going to throw that in there. But we found out that the one who knew no sin literally became sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God. There are times, you know, there's no greater time to surrender during our life and bring deeper intimacy with God than to want to be part of him, because we realize that without him, we're nothing. Without him, we'll fail. Y'all know how the song goes. Without him, our life would be like a ship without a sail.
Yeah.
You know, I ain't trying to rhyme.
Amen.
To help you understand. Let me back up, because I said I was going to let y'all talk tonight, but this is a nice subject. This is a very good subject. We're talking about getting in shape. We're only on the first letter. It's the letter S, and on the letter S, we're finding out it is the word surrender. Pastor Henderson, I got a question for you. I got a question for both of you, as a matter of fact. The more areas of our life we surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, the more room there is for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. What happens when we allow the filling of the Holy Spirit to enter into our lives? What, talk to me. Tell me what happens to us. Where are we in that moment at that particular time? Either one of you.
I'm glad you asked the question, because I was just thinking about when you said surrendering different areas. Because I wanted to interject this, is that our surrender to the Lord is a daily process. Sometimes I think that we just think when I come to the Lord and I surrender my life that everything else in my life is going to line up. But it's a daily, daily process. And so we should be surrendering all the time. Why? Because I believe in the beginning you had talked about the enemy, about how when we were born, we were all born with the Adamic nature of Adam, which was that sin nature. And that's why we need to be born again. Because when we were born the first time in the flesh,
we were born of a seed that was that was a sinful nature. And so now we find in the scripture in John the 3rd chapter when Nicodemus is coming to Jesus and asking him, what must I do to be born again? He tells them, you know, that they must be born again. And he asks them, what should I do to be saved? And he tells them, you have to be born again. So there's a need for us to be born of another spirit, and that's the spirit of Christ. And so when Christ comes into us, now we take on a whole different lifestyle. We are different. But the battle is between the flesh now and the spirit. So now there's a war with the unregenerated part of us because our soul is the fleshly, our emotions and our flesh, our carnal reasoning. Now our spirit has been born again. We have a new spirit when we receive the spirit of Christ. But now we have to contend with the soulless part of us, which is our mind, our emotions, our reasoning. And that's the part that we have to constantly surrender to God so that it can line up with the spirit and we can line up and be transformed into the image of the spirit of God, which is holiness, which is righteousness, which is peace, which is all those, the fruits of the spirit, all of those things is wrapped up in the spirit, our new spirit, our Holy Ghost. And so now the fleshy side of us has to constantly be surrendering. Why? Because we want to look more like God. Why? Because we want to become transformed. The Bible says for us to come out of the world and be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So now our mind has to be renewed daily. And that's where that surrendering comes in, a daily process. All but right, when the Holy Ghost gets in and we yield to the Holy Ghost, then we begin to allow him to take over. And then we can say, like Jesus says, not my will, but thy will be done. And then Apostle Paul says, it's no longer I, but the Christ that liveth in me. And that's what we're striving to get, where we can say, not I, but the Christ that liveth in me.
The Christ. See, she all jumping all ahead of the game here, Elder Brown. I ain't thinking about her. She all up in front of us.
But that's all right. She's put ahead.
We'll rewind.
It's important, too.
No, but that's a good thing. You know, I appreciate it. I don't mind her because, you know, basically you're saying, and I was looking at Galatians 2:20, which says basically that I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But, you know, no, it's no longer I, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Such a life of surrender is literally pleasing to God, and it results in fulfillment for each and every one of us. You know, we reap the ultimate rewards. And see, what I don't want us to miss out on is the very fact that because of the very fact that we have a new nature, our old nature is being replaced. We don't worship God with our emotion. We worship God by faith with our spirit. Our emotion gets a little jealous and gets involved from time to time. But the truth of the matter is we are entering into with thanksgiving in our heart and entering his courts with praise, and we're doing it from a spiritual aspect and not from a natural aspect. You see, the bottom line is anybody, when the music sounds good and that drum is doing whatever it does and the guitar player is playing and the bass player, you got a full band with a praise team and they sound good and you call yourself all up in the spirit. But can you worship God when there's no music anywhere to be found? Can you just think of his goodness? Can you just love? Can you think of his mercy when you're sitting quiet? No radio's playing. All you can hear is whatever noise is around you. If you live in the woods, it's the crickets. And if you're out there in the city, it's the noise of traffic. That's it. That's all the sound you have. Can you hear the melody in your heart that says, thank you, Jesus, for all you've done? I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, today because you cared for me in such a special way. And yes, I praise you. I adore you. You know, when you can hear that spiritual, heavenly music in your spirit, now you know you've transitioned. And I guess 2 Corinthians 5:17, as we get ready to bring this to a close, 2 Corinthians 5:17 lets us know that if any man be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. The new creature does not develop or does not become born again or does not begin to live a life that's pleasing unto the Lord until there has been a yes in somebody's spirit. Now, I'm going to throw another acronym at you, ladies, and I'm going to talk about this later. And, Brown, don't write this down, because if I hear it before I preach it, I'll know who said it. When there is a yes in your spirit, let me give you the acronym for yes, Y, which equals yielding. When you have yielded yourself totally and completely to the living God, you don't care who sees it, who knows it. You don't care who's paying attention. All you got, remember that old song we used to sing? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul. You're singing that song. Yes, Lord. Completely yes. The E basically, and I don't really want to get into it because we're going to talk about it later as we get down to the last acronym or the last letter of the acronym SHAPE. We are going to talk about expectation, but I'm going to replace that word with another word. When we experience the fullness of Almighty God, when he comes into our heart. I recall a time I was in a worship service at a particular church, and I was caught up in the spirit. I don't know if this has ever happened to y'all. Y'all talk to me about this. But I was so caught up in the spirit, I felt my spirit literally flooded, which was, it scared me for a split second. Because I had never experienced that before. That was just the presence of God coming in to join in with my worship. I didn't know that then. I knew that now. I don't want to sound corny, and I don't want to sound very, very light-skinned, Brillo pad light-skinned, but it frightened me. Anyway, it really did. You know, I mean, I didn't know what was going on. The next thing you know, this fluttering was taking place. I thought I was getting ready to die because I thought my heart was getting ready to give up. I honestly thought my heart was getting ready to give up. It wasn't that my heart was giving up. It's just that the presence of Almighty God has made his way into my heart. Now, I've got to tell you this, too, and I need us to understand our God is not a part-time lover. God does not want, or God is not looking for, a part-time lover. Beloved, understand this. God doesn't want he doesn't want part of you. He wants all of you. Romans 6:13 tells us not to offer any part of ourselves as an instrument to sin and wickedness, but rather offer ourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And we have to offer every part of ourselves to him as an instrument of righteousness. We've got to do something that Jesus said in Luke, I believe it was 9:23, and then he said it again in Mark 8:34. He told us, he that will follow after me should deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.
Amen.
You know what, ladies, don't let us forget this part. Somewhere down the line, I want to talk about cross training. I don't know why that just came up, but I do want to talk about cross-training. So that's something else we want to look at down the line. See how I just get stuff and it just comes? The truth of the matter is, in closing, let's just go ahead and establish our argument so we can move forward. When we give God a yes, our plans fall in line with God's will and purpose for our individual lives. When we give God a yes, people who are waiting for their healing, for their deliverance, people who have been waiting to receive from God, and you might be the instrument that God used. Now here you are, you're in your proper place, filling your proper space, and now you can go out and do what he called you to do. The Great Commission told us to go ye therefore into all the world, teaching and baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I mean, then Mark turns around and tells us that these signs and wonders shall follow those of us who believe. I'm just trying to let somebody know, creates all this. All of that. Am I wrong? Am I right? Am I halfway talking? Somebody talk to me.
Yes, that's real good. That's good. I mean, it's important for us to realize that as we are developing our relationship with Christ, that number one, surrendering, it's safe to surrender to him because he's not going to do anything to harm you. He's not going to allow you to harm yourself because as we're being processed through the salvation walk, so to speak, God is a God
that wants us not only wholeheartedly, but he wants us to not fear him, yes, in a reverential way, but not to be afraid of him. And as we go deeper and become more mature in the word and in the direction of the Holy Spirit, what you were referencing as far as what you're experiencing, Bishop, we're learning that our relationship is a cycle. The more we put into God, the more God puts into us, because we're surrendering more and we're allowing him to further mature us and educate us with the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost comes, he's called alongside to help. Again, the Holy Ghost is not going to tell us to do anything that's going to hurt us either. He's there to educate us show us that that relationship with the Lord is full of love, support, education as far as who God is and what he wants for us. Jeremiah 29:11. We know the plan that he has for us to bring us to an expected good end. And who would not want to surrender to a God like that, knowing that he only has what's best for us in store?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's good.
I tell you,
that's
four
good.
Things that because – go ahead. You got something, Henderson, because there are four things I'm going to share real quick, and I'm going to hold off, okay? We got S-H-A-P. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that when you, I was just piggybacking off what Elder Bronner said, is that when you give up and you surrender to the Lord, you're not losing, you're actually gaining something. You know, a lot
Amen.
Of times
Amen.
I think that you're losing, but God will never disappoint you when you surrender your will and your thoughts over to him and you surrender everything to him. And so often we only want to give God a part of us. But when we total surrender, what we have just done is we made room for Jesus to come in and take over. And, you know, when he comes into a situation, he brings, oh, my goodness, he brings blessing. He brings peace. He brings healing. When Jesus comes in the room and takes over and comes into your life, what a whoa, my. We're talking about a good life. We're talking about a happy life. And so it's a good thing.
Yes.
And I just want to tell somebody who's listening tonight, the Lord will never disappoint you. You will
never give up
something and don't get something much more better back in return.
Amen.
And that's an awesome experience.
Amen.
You know what?
Well said.
Put that out. Very well said. I appreciate you putting that out there, because sometimes some people just need to hear. There are benefits to giving your heart to Jesus. There are benefits to surrendering to the Lord. We got to stop with our ideology, our theologies, our theisms, and all this other, you know, stuff that we come up with that we call man-made. The truth of the matter is, how the same God who made the sun, the stars, the moon, and the sky, the same God who's able to change the seasons, the same God who separates the water from the lands, night from day, making the birds, the bees, the flowers, the trees, and then creating us, is he not able to communicate with us? And so when he says he wants a surrendered soul, he wants a surrendered vessel, God's got plans for you. You mentioned it, Elder Brown. We talked about it earlier. But God's got a plan for every one of our lives. God wants to use us for his glory. Do you not realize that we are the new worship mechanism? When Lucifer fell, he lost his position as the worship leader. A lot of you don't even realize that. Go back and read Ezekiel chapter 37, and then go back and read the 15th chapter of Isaiah. I know it talks in parable portions, talking about the king of Tyre and Sidon, but God is talking about Lucifer, the anointed angel, the anointed cherub that covered. He covered the worship.
Amen.
And because he fell, he no longer carries the worship. The new worship leader literally is the body of Christ, the church of the living God. And you can't get your job done correctly if you are not in position. You got to get in your place to fill your space. And in order to get in your place to fill your space, it's going to require a giving up of something. You got to let go of your way. You got to let go of your will. You got to let go of your word. You got to let go of your ego. You got to get rid of that haughtiness, that pride, that self-centeredness, that egotistical mentality. Lose it all. Got a yes. End of story. Ladies, any final comments before we bring it in and call it a night?
One final comment I'd like to make is, as we're surrendering and as we're becoming subject, as we're allowing, because surrendering is allowing God in, make no bones about it.
Yes.
There's no better person to deal with or to speak with than God. Even when you talk to him, you'll never hear it back. When you cry before him, he'll never make in front of you. He stores up your tears. There are so many benefits of us surrendering to him and building that relationship and trusting him. And the best thing I can tell you is, you know what? It's worth it. It's worth it. Try him. Try him. I promise you. God will never fail you. He'll never fall short. He's always on time. He's always available. No putting you on hold. No waiting in line. God is so omniscient, omnipresent. He can handle everybody's prayer requests and concerns at the same time. And I guarantee you, he will always answer you in accordance with his word, which is his will. Try him. Trust. Worth it. It's worth it.
Amen. Amen. All right, Pastor Anderson.
Yes. I'm reminded of in Peter, 1 Peter, I believe it is, that says in chapter 4, verse 7, it lets us know that when we submit to God, submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Yes, and I believe that was James. That's James 4 and 7. James 4 and 7. And it says, submit yourself, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. So, you know, when we submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, the enemy has to back off. You know, he's defeated. And because we have surrendered to the Lord, and the victory of the Lord fights and stands up in our life. So I just thank God for the victory that we have in him. And as we bring ourselves under his authority, amen, as we bring our will under his will, as we bring our life under the umbrella of his will and his authority and his word, amen, then our lives become transformed, amen, and we be to the glory of God because he gives us the victory in him when we surrender.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. We thank God for tonight's discussion. We're talking about how to get in shape. We covered the letter S. We found out it was the letter, it was surrender. Our next letter coming up next week, we are going to talk about holiness and harmony. We're going to talk about both of them. Holiness without no man shall see God. And when you talk about harmony, you can't help but talk about unity. So next week, please join us as we go to the second letter of the acronym SHAPE, S-H-A-P-E. We're talking generally about how to get in shape all month long. We don't want you to miss out. If any of you have been blessed by this podcast, Sister Kimmy Kim, please get that outro ready because we're getting ready to leave. And if you have been blessed by this podcast, please listen carefully as Sister Nina Taylor has some information for you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to kick it off for you, and then she'll come behind me and more or less repeat what I said. For those of you that want to sow into this ministry, we have just changed our Cash App. It is no longer Power to Stand. It is now the Pastor's Corner. The actual words, T-H-E, Pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, Corner. C-O-R-N-E-R. That is the new Cash App. Sow in if you desire. I want to be a blessing to somebody as people begin to sow. We get the finances influxing. We might just want to bless some of you. Those of you by TikTok and Facebook Live, to those of you who watch us week in and week out, we may randomly pick you out, ask you for your Cash App. We might bless you. You never can tell what God's going to do. It's our way of saying thank you for your faith. We're not paying you to be here. We can't do that. You want to be here, you're going to be here. You don't want to be here, we don't have to worry about you being here. But the truth of the matter is we want to find a way to say thank you. We know the holidays are coming up, so we think this will be a little fun way to be a blessing to some of you as we move forward into things pertaining to life and holiness. For Pastor Anna Henderson, for Elder Lauren Brown, I'm Bishop Ernest D. Richard saying God's blessings be upon each and every one of you. We'll see you on the other side of greatness. Sister Kimmy Kim, please play that track.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, then please consider sowing into this ministry. A $20 gift or more would be appreciated. You can do so through Cash App. Just use $ power to stand or on PayPal, Pritchard719@gmail.com. On behalf of Bishop Richard and the Open Mic panel, I'm Nina Taylor saying have a blessed week. We'll see you soon.